Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. There's an elephant in the room, and we're going to talk about it. Our friend, Aperni, look at me messing up the words. Aperni, Attorney Peter Daigle has come. I think we're going to have to edit that one out. I don't know. I might leave it. Our friend, Attorney Peter Daigle, is here with us today to talk about wills. And maybe I laughed out of being nervous because it is a tough topic. And I remember not having a will for my dad when he passed away. And I think it was because the belief is that poor people don't need a will. And really, you're not poor. There was plenty for us to fight over that my dad left behind. So it may have helped us out for him to give us some guidance on how that should go. And it may have also saved some bitter emotions. But also, a will is for many other things. So Peter is going to come into the conversation and share with us some things to consider. Why do we need a will and how to prepare? And to help dispel the myth, if you didn't believe it when I said it, that a will is not just for people that are wealthy. Hey, Peter, sorry I messed up in the beginning. How are
you? Okay, Catherine. No, it's wonderful. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you.
I love you when I have you on.
Yeah. So let me give us some basic information here. So a will, the purpose of a will is to decide who gets what. Because if you don't have a will, the state decides who gets what. And what I mean by the state, I mean that there are laws that decide how your assets are to be divided up. Now, each state is different, okay? Generally speaking, if you die without a will, your children would inherit your assets. But if you're married, your spouse generally gets half. Okay, so your spouse would split it with your children. But every state's different. Okay, so you want to find out in your state. So it gets carved up according to a law. So if you don't want your children to have it, and you want your spouse to have it, then, you know, you've got to be able to, you need to have a will drafted ahead of time. Okay, now a will is a formal document that in most states it has to be witnessed by two people and notarized. So if you sit there in your kitchen table and write up a will and you sign it, it's not going to be valid. Okay, so if it's not going to be valid, then it's going to go contrary to what you might have wanted to have done. Okay, so if you're going to do a will, you want to have one done properly. That's the first suggestion that I have for you today. Now, when you draft a will, it's for assets like like money and houses and cars and things like that. But it's not meant for personal effects, okay? So because personal effects keep changing. Now, you could say, I give all my personal effects to so-and-so, but, you know, as you know, things change, and you might want to have a favorite niece or a nephew or a brother or sister get a specific item. Those do not go in the will, okay? So let's say you have figurines or something like that, you know, stuff you've saved over the years. You can create it on a separate piece of paper that does not need to be witnessed, and it does not need to be notarized. You would say, I give my train, set to so-and-so. I give my glass, Swarovski, figurines to someone else. So those are done, let's call a scheduled distribution, and you can do that, just handwrite that on a sheet of paper, okay? So the will is for the money and those types of that, and money and property. Now, if you want to do a combination of avoiding a will or making sure that the will is going to be valid because you may not have done it properly, you can also head that off by having your accounts, bank accounts and property put in joint accounts before you pass away. So if you had a bank account, for instance, that was with your daughter, she would automatically get the money. You'd not need a will. Okay? Or if you had a house and you wanted to put your spouse or your children on the house deed with you, you'd not have to go through probate for that. So what probate does, that word probate means, it means the settling of an estate according to the will or according to the laws of what's called intestacy, which is dying without a will. Okay? So whenever somebody dies, the attorney for the estate, or the probate attorney, would administer the estate and divide the assets up according to the will or according to what the laws of the land, which is basically some to the children and some to the spouse. Okay? So that's a really brief overview of that. Any questions at all from that part of the discussion?
Well, I actually got some ooh, ah, ohs that I didn't know, like what needs to go into a will and what doesn't need to go into a will. So that's good to know because I didn't know that. I thought, like, every single item that you have, a rocking chair, whatever, like, you had to put it in the will. So as we're having this conversation, what are some things I would need to consider as I'm sitting out? Because I actually need to revisit my will. Been married a year, so got to revisit my will, and he has to revisit his will. What are some things that we really should be paying attention to inside of that?
Well, I mean, obviously, if there are children that, you know, from a previous marriage or there's children out there, you know, you have to decide how those would get, dealt with when somebody passes away. So, I mean, these are obviously tough discussions that you have with your spouse. And then you should really consult an attorney to have the documents drafted, okay? You know, and typically wills run no more than $500 anyway, so it's not a huge legal expense to have the will drafted. I would say to you that you want to have those hard discussions as to, you know, what happens if someone were to die. So you really got to do the business end of it first, okay? But with the business end, decides, you know, how do you, you know, who are we gonna leave things to? Now, and then also you can say, well, let's make it simpler on the people who would have to deal with our estate. And let's just set up some joint accounts. So you could talk to your husband about that and say, listen, I'll put you on my bank account and you put me on yours. And for the purposes of something would happen to either one of us, then we wouldn't have to go through probate. Okay? I mean, those are a couple of basic things. And then if you have a house, you can add that person to the house.
Yeah, would you say the will is more for the financial organization of things? Because when you mentioned you don't have to put our personal effects like some figurines or some prized item in the will, it sounds like it was financial versus non-financial.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
And when it comes to doing the personal effects, you know, those things change with time. So you might have something, you know, like the figurines when you bring it up. You may decide during your lifetime you just want to give them away, okay? And you give them away during your lifetime. And then, you know, you might buy something else. And so, you know, you might have something else that you want to give away, an oriental rug or something, a piece of artwork or something that's really of personal value to you, okay? And then you can just, you know, amend that. But, you know, it's kind of early in life to be able to, you know, decide where you want your living room set to go to necessarily. So you could just say, hey, I leave all my personal possessions to my spouse or my sister or whatever. And then you can become more detailed down the road if you'd like, you know, because things change. I mean, you give your living a set to so-and-so, that living room set could be gone, you know, 2 years from now. So, okay.
It could be. You're right. Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. So is it one of the questions I had, but you answered it, is what's the drawback of not having a will? And you actually answered that right away, was that the state will decide what to do. And does the state ever decide to give it to the family?
Only according to the laws of the land. This, so, for instance, if the state, in the state of Massachusetts, half goes to your children and half goes to your spouse. So,
if that's not what you want, then...
Well, no, if you want your spouse to have everything and not your children, at least initially, then you have to have a will. Otherwise, your spouse lose out on the if the house is held in your name, for instance, and you want your spouse to have the house upon your death, your children are going to have a say in it if you don't have a will. They're going to want their share, and the house is going to have to get sold, and your spouse could be out the you know out of a place to live.
Yeah.
Okay.
It definitely helps make sure that you, because these conversations don't need to be had when you're upset or you're like angry
right.
about something. And
right.
so once this level-headed decision is made, it's there, and it helps you.
Exactly.
For me, it would have been peace of mind just to know what my dad wanted, because everybody had an opinion since there was no will. There were no instructions.
Right.
There were no preparations. And so I felt like I was disrespecting my elders in the family and not doing the right tradition or whatever. I didn't know that I was doing wrong. I was messing it up terribly. I really would have appreciated some guidance. So that to me emotionally would have been a big saving. We don't have a whole lot of time left today, so I'm not going to go into another question. I'm just going to have you come back on to this Needs to Be Said so we can continue talking about it, because I'm sure you have some stories.
Oh, all kinds. So this is good. This is a good start. And sometimes you're better off just taking small steps and giving some simple, basic information before you go on too much anyway. Let the folks get a chance to digest it. So.
Yeah, I think so. So tell people how to get in touch with you outside of This Needs to Be Said.
Oh, great, Catherine. So you can reach me, Peter Daigle, at my phone number is 508-771-7444. Or you can reach me at Daigle Law Office. If you just Google Daigle Law Office, you can email me to that or contact me to that or read information that's contained on the website.
Fantastic. Until next time, Peter, have a super day.
Okay, Catherine. See ya. Bye now. Thank you.